We hear enough Udom bees. So let's see if we can just do a quick review of Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes. And both Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes are trying to justify, or shall we say reconcile, the Takana of Kinyan Arba Amos with either the Mishnah in Peah or with our Mishnah here in Bav Metzia. Because let's start with the Mishnah in Peah. The Mishnah in Peah assumes that if he throws wheat or whatever grains onto the Peah, he cannot be kona the Peah, and the next ani can take it away from him. In fact, in some cases we even penalize him, and we remove him even from that Peah that he legitimately picked up. So what happened with the Kinyan Dalet Amos? And that was the kasha that Rav Papa came to address. And then Rava came to address the kasha from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah in the case of Metzia says that he threw himself over the Metzia, and the first guy who comes along can take it away from him. What happened to the Kinyan Dalet Amos? So Rav Papa says that we're going to limit the Kinyan of Dalet Amos to the case of something that's not privately owned. But if some sada is privately owned, then there's no Kinyan Dalet Amos. That was Rav Papa. And in the question of Rava, we have the answer of Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes tells us that the Takana of Dalet Amos only works in a case of a Simta, because a Simta, although it belongs to the Rabbim, but there's no reshus for everyone to go in there. Anyone who goes in there at that time, he gets exclusive use of the simta, and that's called lo doch kibei rabim. So this was the answer of Rav Sheshes, that our Mishnah is talking about a case of reshus harabim, and therefore in reshus harabim there's no takon of dalet amos. Whereas Rav Papa's answer was that the Mishnah in Peah is talking about a case of a privately owned field called the Sada de Balabayas, and there's no Kinyan Dalet Amos. Now the question that we left hanging last time is there any nafkamina here between Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes? Although each one respectively was addressing a different kasha from a different Mishnah, both of these Mishnahs seemed at the face of it to contradict the Takon of Dalet Amos. But what's odd about it is that they use different languages. Rav Papa seems to just exclude a Sada de Balabayas. We don't know exactly what Rav Papa would say about other areas, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But in the language of Rav Sheshes is excluding a Rishus Harab, and he suggests that Dalet Amos is only a viable Kinyan in Simta. Now, there's a Beis HaLevi on this, and the Beis HaLevi offers two approaches. The first approach is that there is a machlokas, in fact, between Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes, and that's the following: that Rav Papa holds that only in a privately owned field is Dalet Amos excluded. But in the case of Rishus HaRabim, which is not privately owned, according to Rav Papa, there is a takana. Whereas Rav Sheshes limits and restricts the takana of Dalet Amos to a simta, and only a simta, to the exclusion of Rishus HaRabim. Then the Beis HaLevi offers another approach, and he says that Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes were both saying the same thing, although they used two different formulations, because each one was relating to a different question. But both of them say that the Kinyan of Arba Amos operates exclusively in the case of a Simta. It does not operate neither in the case of a privately owned Sada, nor in the case of Rishus HaRabim. And the Beis HaLevi assumes that although he's not sure if Rashi accepted the second approach, which makes harmony between Rav Sheshes and Rav Papa. He's quite convinced that the Rif and the Rambam take that approach. And both the Rif and the Rambam establish that we paskin like both Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes, which means that a Sodesh de Baal Bais is excluded from Dalet Amis, and so too Rosh Hasharavim is excluded from Dalet Amis. But what I really wanted to discuss with you before we start the next sugya is a gigantic sugya that will occupy our minds for at least 2 or 3 days. Just to finish up on this part of the sugya of Dalet Amis, is to mention and study with you a Tosus and Gittin. Now, if you want to look up the Tosus, I'm just mentioning it. We're not going to have time to go through the Tosus. It's in Gittin Daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis, Dibra Maskel Rebbe. And Tosus here claims that he has an explicit Mishnah in Gittin which contradicts Rav Sheshes and proves that Dalet Amis is operative even in Rosh Hasharavim. What does the Mishnah tell us? She, the wife, was standing in Rosh Hasharavim, and the husband threw a get that reached, and now I quote the Mishnah, Karov La. And the Mishnah paskins Migureshes. And the Gemara quotes Rav. Rav says, what does the Mishnah have in mind when it says Karov La? Hainu betoch dalet amoseha. That the get reached within a radius of where she was standing in the public in the public marketplace, within a radius of Arba Amos. So Tosfos in Masechta Gittin asks the question, wait a second. Rav Sheshes says that there's no Kinyan Dalet Amos in Rosh Hasharavim. And the Mishnah says explicitly that she was standing in Rosh Hasharavim. And Rav says this get came Karvlo, meaning came within Dalet Amosel. So Lechora says Tosfos, this is the Kinyan of Dalet Amos, which according to Rav Sheshes was never established in Rosh Hasharavim. So Tosfos offers two answers. His first answer is that when the Mishnah says Rosh Hasharavim, we shouldn't take it literally, but what the Mishnah means is Simta, or alternatively Tzidei Rosh Hasharavim. If you recall, Rav Sheshes assumed that the Kinyan of Dalet Amis was established by the Chachamim in a Simta, or Tzidei Rosh Hasharavim has the same din as a Simta. The Mishnah in Gittin, although it utilizes the phrase Rosh Hasharavim, it really has in mind the Simta. And Tosfos goes on to say that we will find different Mishnayos where the word Simta is substituted with the word Rosh Hasharavim. So it comes out now that the Maskon of Tosfos in this first teretz is that there's no such thing as throwing a get into a Dalet Amis radius in Rosh Hasharavim of the Isha, where she's standing, and the get would be valid. Why? Because Rav Sheshes says that the efficacy of Dalet Amis is inapplicable to Rosh Hasharavim. Okay, fine. Now you get to the second teretz of Tosfos. Tosfos says that we misunderstood Rav Sheshes. When Rav Sheshes excludes Dalet Amis as a Kinyan in Rosh Hasharavim, he didn't mean to say in an absolute way that under all circumstances the Kinyan of Dalet Amis is invalid. He's not excluding Rosh Hasharavim from Dalet Amis. He's talking about a case where the Rosh Hasharavim is open to everyone, where no one has any control over other area, over any particular area, even the area that's in close proximity. However, even Rav Sheshes would agree that in a case where Yochel Lishmar, Es HaMunach B'toch Dalet Amosav, as a person has control, that if anyone enters into that radius, that close proximity to his body, he will be able to grab the object and hold it for himself. In such a case, even Rav Sheshes would agree that Dalet Amos is Konoslo. And therefore Tosfos says that we can reconcile our Rav Sheshes here with the Mishnah in Gittin, because the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about a case of not just Karov La, which means physically it's located within Dalet Amis, but it's a case where Yecholo Lishmar Es Gita. And to prove this, Tosis quotes a case where a man throws a get and it lands, let's say, 51% away from where he's standing and 49% within the place that she's standing. And it doesn't even have to be Arba Amos. But since the Gemara says Yecholo Lishmar's Gita, that she's the first one to get a hold of that get, that itself is considered Megureshes. So before we go on here, I want to mention to you the Rashba in the Sugin Gittin. But as far as
the Tosfos says, Cholek with the Rif, saying that the Korov
meant Amos. Correct. That according to Tosfos, it depends on which Teretz and Tosfos. So well, let's just
one, yeah.
Yeah, let's just review the two Teretz and Tosfos so we see how fundamentally different they are one from the other. According to the first Teretz and Tosfos, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is completely mufka, completely excluded from Kinyan Dalet Amos. There are no scenarios in which he could be Koneh in Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then we take Rav Sheshes literally. Again, whether Rav Papa would agree with that or not, we don't know, but it's fair to assume that even Rav Papa would agree that when he said that we exclude the case of a Sada de Baal, what he meant was anything other than a simta or tzidei rishus harab. So the first Teretz of Tosfos says that you have to reinterpret the Mishnah Gittin. What does the Mishnah mean when it says rishus harabim? It means simta. Cross out the word rishus harabim and substitute the word simta. Tosfos' second Teretz is that there are two dinim in rishus harabim, two categories of rishus harabim. There's a general category of Rishus HaRabim, which is excluded here by Rav Sheshes, as far as Kinyan Dalet Amos is concerned, because the area is so open that anyone can jump around and grab onto anything at any time. And that's, if you remember the language here of Rav Sheshes on Daf Yudam and Beis, Doch Kibay Rabim. But then there's another case of Rishus HaRabim. That's a case of Rishus HaRabim where anyone has Rishus to use that area, and anyone is walking down that area at any time, but at least for the moment, there's no one who has access to the object except for one individual. That's called Yochol Lishmar Es HaMunach B'Socha B'Tok Dalet Amos. And in that case, even Rav Sheshes would agree that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Konoslo. That's according to the second answer of Tosfos. Now I want to learn with you the Rashba. excuse me. The Rashba writes that perhaps Rav Sheshes has a different interpretation of the Mishnah Gittin, not the interpretation of Rav, but rather the interpretation of Rav Yochanan. Now again, according to Rav, when the Mishnah says that he threw a get and she was standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Karov Lo Megureshes, it's referring to Toch Dalet Amoseha. That's the interpretation of Rav. However, although according to Rav it seems that there is a kinyan of Dalet Amos and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's true according to Rav. Rav Sheshes never bought into Rav. He accepted a different interpretation of the Mishnah, and that's the interpretation of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan understood that this is a matter of question whether or not the get left the area of the Baal. Once it leaves the area of the Baal in its Karov Law, that's Megureshes, not Midin Dalet Amos. Karov Law doesn't mean Dalet Amos. Karov means that it's closer to her. So let me try again, Lefiani is Daiti, to explain the two Shitos here of what Karov Law means in Get. Yesh Lachkar. Is this halacha of Karov Law a unique halacha that applies to get and only to get? Or is this halacha of yad, meaning in kolator kula, not just in get, you could be konas something with yad, and the extension of your yad is going to be dalet amos? Let's explain. Rav Sheshes had a problem, because if Rav is correct, that when the Mishnah says karov lo megureshes, it means toch dalet amoseha, then you're telling me that even in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there's a kinyan of Dalet Amos. And that's a unique halacha of Dalet Amos. This is not a halacha of some sort of Nesina. Now, hold on. Wait, just give me a minute. I'm sorry. I can't. I just need to focus on what I'm saying. Okay, so let's understand two ways of interpreting the Mishnah in get. One way of interpreting the Mishnah is that he is considered to have put the get into a yad. That's an interpretation that is absolutely unacceptable from Rav Sheshes' point of view. Why? Because Rav Sheshes holds that in order to have a Kenyan yad through Dalet Amos, you have to have a location which is exclusively yours, that you are given rights and no one else to use that location. If anyone could use that location, that's not called yad, according to Rav Sheshes. Rav, on the other hand, in the Gemara Gittin, says no, that you can have a kinyan of Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and the fact that it's Rishus HaRabim, you don't have any rights to that area any more than anyone else do, that's irrelevant. Why? Because, says Rav, the takana of Dalet Amos works even in a Rishus HaRabim, meaning that the Chachamim set it up that they excluded everyone else from this object, such that now it's considered within your yad, and you can make a kinyan. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, has a whole different interpretation of the Mishnah, and that's an interpretation in which Rav Sheshes could be on board as well. And that is that the halacha of Karav Law is not some sort of universal kinyan, but it's halacha in get. And there the Torah says, V'nasan biyada, that he has to take the get out of his yad and put it into hayad. And here's where the Mishnah breaks new ground, the way the Rabbi Yochanan understands it. You don't have to put it into a yad. You just have to get it out of his yad in such a way that she can have access to it. Now, we're not talking about Dalet Amos. We're talking about a distance. And yet, since she can be Shomer the get is further away from him and closer to her, that constitutes Menasam B'yadam. Would that operate, bless you, in another kinyan? The answer is no. We find no kinyan in the Torah where we say that if I throw something in your direction and I want to be machnet to you, that if it lands karav loch or karav lo, meaning it's karav to the kona, that he could be kona. All we know of is a kinyan like hagbah, meshicha, mesira, all those kinyan yad, but we never heard of a kinyan of karav lo. Says Rabbi Yochanan, this kinyan of karav lo is a specific, unique kinyan that's limited to get, because the Torah says, how you megarish the isha? Through Vinas and Biyada. Comes along Rav Yochanan and he says that our Mishnah in Git and Ayin Ches is breaking new ground. What does it mean, Vinas and Biyada? It means when he takes it out of his immediate domain and he extends the get into her domain, anywhere where she can get access to the get, that's considered Vinasan. He's already taken it out of his hand and put it into her hand. Nowhere, in no other kinyan would that operate. Therefore, Rav Sheshes says, based on Rabbi Yochanan, I can understand that Mishnah without having to set up this yad, this new yad of Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Because Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim does not have any significance, it's totally void. So it's impossible to say that when the Mishnah said Karav Law, Rav is correct, and the Mishnah meant Tov Dalet Amos Seh, and she's koneh through Dalet Amos. There is no Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Rav understood that there's Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim as well. Rav would only exclude maybe a chotzer shel Abal HaBayis, where it's privately owned. But even in the case of Rishus HaRabim, she can make a kinyan on a get. Now here's where the Beis HaLevi says that the Rashba says that there are two categories of Rishus HaRabim. There's one Rishus HaRabim where anyone at this moment in time can get access. It's equally accessible to everyone. And then there's a Rishus HaRabim where at least at this moment only one person can get access. Now, would the Rashba allow that Rav Sheshes would accept that principle? The answer is absolutely not. The Rashba is telling us that Rav Sheshes had an absolute exclusion under all circumstances of Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim is excluded from any kind of kinyan Dalet Amos in any shape or form, even if no one's around at this moment. But the interpretation of the Mishnah according to Rav Sheshes and Gittin is that of Rabbi Yochanan, that we're talking about a whole different halacha, has nothing to do with Dalet Amos. Yeah, David, do you want to say something? I just wanted to make sure I have it close.
Yeah, okay, now, so this is the end of that. So yeah, question, when we talk about Rishut HaRabim in Ezekiel, it's not the same Rishut HaRabim as Shabbos.
That's an interesting question. For that, you have to learn, believe it or not, Masechta Ksuvos, not Masechta Shabbos. In the third parak of Ksuvos, The Gemara goes into a discussion about whether Rishus HaRabim and Shabbos is the same as Rishus HaRabim as far as Kinyonim are concerned. I don't remember the final Maskona. You have to go through Eilat Naris, which is a very profound perek to learn. But what I do remember is that this a concept called Dochki BeRabim, and the Gemara there differentiates in Hilchah Shabbos between Sidei Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaRabim itself, which means that only in Rishus HaRabim itself, that's the body of the area that's designated for the Rabim to go through. Let's say it's for argument's sake, Tet Zayin Amah wide. So that's where the people go through with their wagons and with their children, whatever they're walking along there. Then there's something called Sidei Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara goes back and forth, what's the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? It's certainly not Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it has its own din, but to what extent can we say that it's also Dochki BeRabim, and therefore it becomes the extension of Rishus HaRabim? And the Gemara says, well, Dochki BeRabim is only a very rare kind of temporary situation, so we're not sure whether Dochki BeRabim, since the Rabim, if it's very crowded in the area of Rishus HaRabim, they spill over into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, whether that's considered a Rishus HaRabim. However, in Kinyonim, it could very well be that Kinyonim, all you need is Dochki BeRabim. The size of the Rishus HaRabim would not be relevant. In Shabbos, the size of the Rishus HaRabim, like Tes Ha'inam, that would be relevant, but could be in Kinyonim, all you need is Dochki BeRabim.
And because is really addressing a specific aspect of Rishus HaRabim that kind of becomes necessary.
Not exactly. Again, we're going with Rav Sheshes that in Rishus HaRabim there is no takana. People will actually fight, call a code of Zoch in Rishus HaRabim. They only establish the Kinyan Chotzer as a yad in a case where you're in a simta, where you have exclusive rights to that area.
Oh, I thought it was where it was more likely that people would be fighting, that's where the takana is needed.
And that's why Rav Sheshes is telling you it's not that way. Meaning Rav Sheshes is saying that the way that Chazal enacted this takana of Dalet Amos, it has to be an area where you can somehow establish your exclusive use over the area. That even though technically it belongs to everyone, but you can establish your use over the area. That's called a simta. And that's a makom, that's a place that's designated for any one of the members of the Rishus HaRabim to go in there and declare, right now I'm using the area. And he excludes anyone else. But in Rishus HaRabim itself, there is no takana. And the reason for that is because Rav Sheshes understood that Dalet Amos was considered like a person's chotzer. And you cannot establish any sort of a chotzer in Rishus HaRabim. Whether the Rav Pop would accept that or not is two explanations of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi actually vacillates on that point, but if you assume, like his second approach, that Rav Papa actually disagrees with Rav Sheshes, then Rav Papa is only excluding a case with his private ownership. Even a case that's publicly owned, the Chazal established that at this moment, just for the purpose of this particular object and making a kinyan on it, Dalet Amos shel Adam is like his chotzer. Last week, we were tempted to think that Rav Papa is not operating with chotzer because it's very difficult to reconcile chotzer with Rishus HaRabim. But rather, he's operating with a kind of aloch of yad. And yad means that I have a certain control, as we suggested, over a radius in close proximity.
What I was thinking more in terms of the time of the takana, that the likelihood of the fights, and Rav Sheshes has a problem with that because, but you can't establish over an
area. Correct.
That could be the kind of conceptual, if you will, machlokes between them.
Right. And that's what we discussed last week, that even though the Tam of the Takana is X, but the Geter HaTakana is Y. So the Geter HaTakana might be very different than the Tam of the Takana. You remember we gave the example of Tefillin, right? It says in the Pasuk in Tefillin that Tefillin is that we should remember the Torah. And we should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara wants to exclude Noshim from Tefillin. So Gemara says that Nashim are excluded from tefillin because the mitzvah seishas mind grom. So the Rishonim want to know, well, why exclude her from that perspective? Forget about that. Even without Zman Grom, you should exclude it because she's not included in Torah. So they say, but she is included in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it could be that a woman logically could be included because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Rav used to say over the name of his father, that Rav Moshe used to always ask, well, we have something called Af Hein Hoyu Boso Anes. That means that even if the Torah would exempt her because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, but if she was included in the Nes, then she's obligated in that mitzvah. Like, for example, many Rishonim hold that Haggadah v'gadat l'bincha is obligatory even for a woman. And the question is obvious. It's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. But the answer is, af hein hoyu boso anes, that despite the fact that women technically are excluded, nevertheless, they would be included because of Afein Hoyu Oso Nes. So Rav Moshe asked, well, in the case of Tefillin, where the Torah says that Tefillin is meant to be a memory, a reminder of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so women are included in the great Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why they're obligated in Dalit Kosos, and possibly in Haggadah Doraisa. So Rav Moshe used to say, well, there's a difference between the Sivas Adin and the Gedar Adin. It's true that the Sivas Adin is to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Gedar Adin is a Maisa Hanochas Tefillin, and here we have to gauge it from the perspective of Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma. So I'm just giving you an example off the top of my head, but there are many, many examples where, although you have a reasoning behind the Din, but the Din takes on a life of its own with its own definition. Here's an example. According to Rav Sheshes, there's no Takon of Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And we would have said, Pumfaker, that if you look at the time of the reason of this takana, then if there's any place on the face of the earth that requires that protection of Dalet Amos, it should be Rishus HaRabim. But the answer is, Chazal Mesakin Dalet Amos has a chotzer, and there is no such thing as establishing a chotzer in Rishus HaRabim. Okay, Rabosai, now we're going to start a major, major sugya. Again, it's all about Dalet Amos and about chotzer. But this is really gigantic. Now, we had Reish Lakish earlier in this sugya. We're going to have Reish Lakish a second time, and again in the name of Abba Kohen Baradullah. If you recall, Rav Sheshes earlier on this daf, and also on Yudom and Aleph, had established in the name of Abba Kohen Baradullah that there is a kinyan which Chazal established called the kinyan Dalet Amos. And I mentioned in the past that that kinyan could work even on Doraisa level, even though it was only established by the Chachamim. But once the Chachamim established a kinyan Chotzer, that Chotzer operates Doraisa. And this is the famous essay, I mean, I'm giving you not even the tip of the iceberg, of Rabbi Yosef Engel, who wrote a massive work just on this topic. When do we say that a Takana Derabanan could operate on a Doraisa level? And one of his examples is Dalet Amos, which is a kinyan derabanan, and yet it works for get, and she becomes a grusha and yamateresh ish doraisa. Fine. Ketana. So we're talking about a girl who's less than 12 years old. Ein lo chotzer ve ein lo arba amos. So according to the first opinion in the Gemara, to the same extent that a ketana does not have Dalet Amos. So, for example, the Torah recognizes Ishus in the case of a ketana, possibly even in the case of an ubar, even a fetus could be married off. That's a sugya called Makadish, just a ubar. But certainly from the day she's born, she can become an Ishus Ish. If somebody has a relationship with her, it's not Bias Ishus Ish because she's Pachosomik Bashalosh. But let's say she's already Bashalosh, right? So in such a case, a person who would have a relationship with her is put to death because she's an Eishas Ish. Her father accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. And now the question is, how do you break up that Ishus? Can you simply put the get into her chotzer? So comes along Reish Lakish and he says, no, that only a woman who's a gedola past the age of 12, only she could have a chotzer. And the question is why, as the Gemara is going to analyze in just a moment. And therefore, if a man would give a get into his wife's hands, I'm sorry, into his wife's chatzer, and she is less than 12 years old, then she would not be megureshes. Even though a woman is megureshes, not only biyada, but even bechatzera, but in the case of a ketana, she doesn't have a chatzer. She doesn't have the ability to establish a kinyan on the chatzer, therefore she cannot be kona through chatzer, she cannot be kona get through chatzer, and therefore ain't a megureshes. That's the opinion.
I thought,
she has
yada.
Yeah, did I say in Loyad? I'm sorry.
No,
cross that out.
I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought that a ketana in Loyad.
Well, in get, the Torah gave her yad. That's going to be the second opinion. That she should have a chatzah as an extension of her yad, even though, it's, you know, in Hilchus Kinyonim, where the Torah says that you have to acquire ownership on something, she cannot acquire ownership, neither on a chatzah or perhaps not in Dalet Amos, but in get, where the Torah says, v'nosan v'yada, and that would apply even to a ketana, then we could extend that to include chatzah.
I mean, she can be kodesh, she can't be machia, though.
That's true, too. She cannot be machia. Okay. But that's not relevant so much to get.
So wait, you're extending that to chatzah, or you're not extending that to chatzah?
So that's going to be Rabbi Yochanan. So I didn't know if you were asking about Reish Lakish, you were asking about Rabbi Yochanan.
I'm not sure which is which yet.
Okay, so Reish Lakish is of the opinion that she has no chatzah, and she has no Dalet Amos. Okay then? And again, we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, so don't get confused with the previous sugya of Rav Sheshes that we discussed. Okay.
And we're not talking about Yad.
Oh, so let's see about Yad. So Rav Yochanan Omar Mishum Rav Yanai, he has a different opinion. The Omar Yesh Lo Chotzer, which we're going to soon see, the Gemara is going to say that if she has a Chotzer, it means because she has a Yad, therefore she has a Chotzer. The Yesh Lo Arba Amos. And if Arba Amos is a Chotzer, then ipso facto, she could be Megureshes through Arba Amos, because Arba Amos is nothing more than a Chotzer. The Maikom Miflagi, what is the machlokes? Mar sover according to Rabbi Yochanan. What is chotzer? Chotzer mishum yada isra boy. When the Torah says v'nasan biyada, it's telling me that not only her yad, and she certainly can be megureshes with her yad, and that's true even in the case of a ketana. But it's extending it to chotzer as well, and that's because chotzer is mishum yad. So since the Torah says that if he gives the get into a yad, even if she's a ketana, she's megureshes, then chotzer is another case of yad. It's a substitute for yad. So that's according to Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan therefore would insist that if a ketana receives a get in a chotzer, she is megureshes. Why? Because she has a yad. Now again, she doesn't have a yad in kinyonim, but she has a yad for get.
She can be koneh.
That's a little bit more complicated. The Gemara is not talking about whether she has a kinyon on the get. If we assume that there's no such thing as gerushin without a kinyon on the get, then you're right. Then she would have to be koneh the get, because the Gemara is assuming here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that when you put the get into her yad and into her chotzer, or even into her dalet ya'amas, she is megureshes. But I don't know that for sure a get requires a kinyan. In fact, that's a machlokas between, you won't believe it, the Ktzos and Reb Chaim. The Ktzos was of the opinion that v'nosan biyada means just an asina. You don't need a kinyan. And his proof was always from Kosav la get al klipe orla. The Gemara says in Gitna Daf, I think it's Yutes, that if you write a get on orla, which is Osir Bano, then she's and he delivers her the get, she's Megureshes. So the Ketzos asks the following question. We hold that there are no kinyonim, he can't be Machni Suri Ano. Orla is Osir Bano. And when he gives her the Ola Shel Zayis, which is orla, then he's not Machna the get. And yet the Gemara says explicitly Megureshes. And that's how it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ketzos says, you see from that, that she doesn't have to make a kinyan on a get. That it's v'nosan biyada. And Reb Chaim used to disagree. Reb Chaim used to say, if I remember correctly, that there's a different kind of a kinyan that operates in shtaros. In other words, in all of Hilchus Kinyanim, if you want to make a kinyan on an object, you need to have heter hanah, and if there's no heter hanah, then there's no kinyan. But the exception to the rule is shtaros. And Rav Chaim used to explain it because in shtaros, you're not being kone the chefza of the niyar aget, you're being kone the raya in the shtar. And raya is something is abstract, and an abstract kinyan you could have even on isuri hanah. So Rav Chaim was not impressed with the ketzos's raya from Kosov Laget al Klipe Arla, because Rav Chaim understood that the kinyan in shtaros is a whole different kinyan. Whatever she owns in this get is not the physical parchment as an object like any other object, but rather she owns the raya of the get, and on that she has to make a kinyan. Anyway, that's off on the side. But let's get back to Rabbi Yochanan and Abba Kohen Baruch. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a woman, even if she's less than 12 years old and she's a ketana and in Hilchas Kinyonim, she has no yad. Nevertheless, the Torah is machadish that she has a yad in Gittin, and that's what some of the other teaches me. And once you give her a yad, then we extend that to include chotzer, because chotzer mishum yadis rabbi. And again, once you have the chotzer, then you can add dalet amos to boot. Umar sover Reish Lakish disagrees. Chotzer mishum shlichus is rabbi. And Rabbi Osa, I'll tell you the honest truth, I never understood this Gemara. I mean, I've seen it a dozen times. I never really quite was yorid la'omek ha'dover. I mean, I can understand that a chutz is an extension of a yad, but to say that a chutz is a shliach, in fact, the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth now whether ein shliach l'dvar avera applies to a kinyan chutzer. Could you imagine if a ganav steals something and instead of taking it into his rishus, he puts it into a chutzer? And now the question is whether that chutzer could be kona on his behalf, and that means that he's. Okay, so you have to know what kinyonic zelo actually generate, but let's say he would get the profits if, let's say, the animal produces gizo or vlados, whatever it is. I mean, again, you have to know Hilchus Gzela for that, which is half of Baba Kava. But whatever it is, the Gemara says that now he's using his chotzer as a shliach, if you hold that chotzer mishum shlichas. And what is he using it for? To complete his gzela. Well, that's ein shliach l'dvar avera. I mean, I'm just trying to lisaber to ozen. I just want to get your feet wet over here. To what extent does Gemara think that chatz mishum shlicha should be taken literally? Do you understand what I mean? It's not some sort of a melitzas haloshon here that, oh, chatz is mishum shlichus. It has tremendous ramifications because, says Reish Lakish, a ketana doesn't have a shliach. You cannot become a shliach for a ketana. Why? Because the Torah says, "Ga'atem gamatem l'rabba shluchachem atem bar chiyuva af shluchachem bar chiyuva." So, for example, let's say I don't know if I can send the Yisrael to be mafresh truma on behalf of a kohen if Yisrael is not a bar chiyuva, or the other way around. Let's say if maybe that's not a good example. We'll come up with a few examples as we go along. Now, I want to just read to you what he has here in the name of the Rosh. He says, Chotzer mishum shlichus es raboy, din chotzer, shekone le'isha saget, his rabba midin shlichus. Now again, the language of Mishum Shlichus Isra'boy is a ribui, is a little bit interesting, because I would have said that conceptually maybe a chotzer is like a shliach, then it operates on behalf of the mishaleach, the owner of the chotzer, but I wouldn't have said Isra'boy. Isra'boy seems to be indicative of the fact that it's derived from a pasuk, usually a language in the Shas of Isra'boy, which is from Milosha ribui, means a ribui de kra. So we're going to have to see exactly what that ribui dekra is. That somewhere in the parash of shlichus, there's an extra ribui for chotzer, which means that a chotzer is a shliach. So let's point out that in parashas ki teitze, the Torah says vishilcha mi beiso, and the Gemara derives vishilcha mi beiso, that vishilcha means a shliach. And mi beiso means leaving his rishus. So she can get a get through his shliach, and that will allow her to leave his bias, meaning he no longer has rishus. Now the Gemara Kedushin on Daf Mem Aleph says, and this is what the Rosh makes a big deal about, that Ishos HaShliach, a man could appoint a Shliach for Nesinas HaGet, and then an Ishos HaShliach LeKabolas HaGet. Now, according to Reish Lakish, a woman, let's say she's a gedola, she can receive her get in a chatzer because she can receive a get through a shliach. So you follow, there's a whole chain here, like a chadgad. First is v'shilcha mibeso, that he can appoint the shliach. Then the Gemara says kishem, just like he can appoint the shliach, she can appoint the shliach. The Gemara goes back and forth. Is there really an equation? Can we derive one from the other? Once we derive the conclusion that she can appoint the shliach, then she could be kona get through a chatzah because the chatzah is a shliach. That's the shita Reish Lakish. But if you're talking about a chatzah which cannot serve as a shliach because the chatzah is owned by a katan or a ketana, then in a chinami, chatzah would not be operative. Because chatzah operates midin shlichus. So I'm just trying to again emphasize the point that this mishum shlichus is rabbi is not some sort of melitza, it's not some sort of a, you know, fancy poetry, but this really is halacha lemaisa, that according to this man the Omar, chatzer is a shliach. Again, there's the two types of shluchim. One type of shliach you have to actually appoint, and then there's a chatzer where you don't have to appoint him as a shliach. The fact that you own this chatzer, that itself makes it into your upstandic, it's always considered your shliach. And now we're going to apply the principle of ketana. That ketana, although she has a yad for gerushin, she cannot have a chatzah for gerushin because chatzah is a subcategory of what? Of shlichus. And she doesn't have shlichus, therefore she cannot have chatzah. So the chatzah is operating within shliach. That's the sheet of whom? Of Reish Lakish. If we go back to Abba, if we go back to I lost it for a second there. If we go back to Rabbi Yochanan, so then what are we saying? We're saying, no, that chatzah is not some sort of stand-in shliach, but that chatzah is an extension of yad. And anyone who has a yad, ipso facto, has chatzah. And a ketana, at least as far as gerushin is concerned, has a yad. Because the Torah says, v'nosam b'yodah, and that applies even to who? Even to a ketana. So once she has a yad, then if chatzah is mishum yodis rabbi, then to the same extent that she was given a yad for Kabbalah's Gita, she has a chatzah that's valid for Kabbalah's Gita.
We see other places in Shas of the idea of shlichus being extended to inanimate entities.
I don't know of any such case. It's just this Gemara that really boggles the brain that a chatzah is a shliach. I mean, we have a principle called shlicho shalad kemoso, and who is the shliach? There are all sorts of rules and regulations. You know, not everyone could.
Minui shliach.
Right, yeah. Well, no, we don't know about that because Zochem Yom Shalom fun of. And then you could talk about it again, and get lost in that. So you know. But no, what I meant to say is that there are all sorts of regulations about who could be a shliach. For example, you may need a bardas, you may need a Yisrael, you know, there's a question of whether someone is mufka from a certain din, right? So, for example, an Eved has no yad l'kiddushin, so therefore an Eved can't be a shliach l'kiddushin. You follow what I'm saying? You have to, it has to be someone who's bioso dover, you know, he belongs to that category, and then he can. But now we're talking about a chatzah. I mean, it's
like
a stretch that a chatzah is.
Where you talk like sending a get in the mail, for example, you know, whatever sort of idea might come into play.
Yeah, but who's carrying the mail? I don't know
it goes through many hands. And
right, and if a guy is the postman, he can't be a shliach for the Baal.
But the idea of Gittin is like a paved road between him and her. Giving her the get constitutes gerushin. Giving somebody else this get means nothing.
unless she appointed him as a shliach.
Right. But I don't mean that the difference between shliach and her. I mean the whole idea of nesinas get is a special case.
That's for sure.
So how can we use the principles that operate in get to...
Well, only to the extent that there's an overlap. For example, if in get the Torah recognizes shlichus, which we derive from the pasuk v'shalach mibesa, v'shalcha mibesa, then if chatzar is shliach, then isha has a chatzar to be miskaresh. In other words, this is like A equals B equals C, and therefore A equals C, if you follow me.
Yeah.
So A equals B means that she can have a shliach for a get, she appoints a shliach. And C means that chotzer is mishum shliach. So if she can have a shliach and chotzer is mishum shliach, hence, therefore, she can have a chotzer. She can be kona get with a chotzer.
Is this about a get, the source, the makor for the whole idea of shlichus?
No. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. The Gemara thinks that maybe Korban Pesach, where it says v'shachtu es kol kahal adas Yisrael, means one person shechs the Korban Pesach on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, maybe that's the parasha of shlichus. Then the Gemara has a drasha in the parasha of Kiddushin. The Gemara has another drasha in Truma. If I'm not mistaken, the Gemara's final conclusion, although not all the Rishonim would agree with this, is Truma. That the super category, the paradigm of shlichus, is going to be Truma. And many of the dinim of shlichus will be derived from Truma. And for that you have to learn Kiddushin, but you also have to learn, you have to learn the sugya of Yei Shalom Yidas, right? Because there also, for example, it could be that in Truma, if the Baal never appointed someone to be Mafresh's Truma, then it could be that nevertheless that Afrosh is valid.
There's a Pasuk somewhere?
Or? I don't know about it. Yeah, there's a Pasuk.
By Truma.
Right. Atem Gam Atem Arabo Shluchachem. Right. But I'm just pointing out that if you ever learn the Sugya of Yei Shalom Yidas, which is in the next parak, I'm not sure if we'll get to it, then according to the Gemara, if he comes back after, he, the owner of the field, comes back after the self-appointed shliach was mafris truma on his behalf, and he says, in klachet to the office, we don't go into that, but he indicates that he's happy with Afrosha, then Afrosha is chal. I mean, that's really interesting, because that's lechora unique halacha in truma. Because truma is not like zochin the other shlovim fara. Truma, you're taking something out of his possession.
But that's nichalei liyadam tatiyavit mitzvah mamone.
Yes and no. I mean, nichalei the tatiyavit mitzvah mamone means without being mafkia his bailus on the moment. I can't take your talus and make a kinyan on it because I'm making a mitzvah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm being misate the talus.
Right. But in truma, you're actually transferring ownership from your kama over to the Kohen.
Yeah. Right.
So Rav Chaim is famous for saying that there's no such thing as shlichus mishum. There's no such thing as chatz as mishum shlichus. That's not what the Gemara has in mind at all. Only Rav Chaim can do this. And Rav Chaim assumed that everybody agrees that chatz is mishum yad. But what the Gemara meant mishum shlichus is that it has the same limitations of shlichus. That the limitations of shlichus apply to chatzer. And that means that whoever is included in shlichus could have a chatzer, and whoever is excluded from shlichus cannot have a chatzer. But chatzer is always mishum yad. That's for sure.
And what's the tam?
The tam is always mishum yad. That the Torah was marbe chatzer as an extension of your yad. You know,
why would the same restrictions of shlichus apply?
Because the parsha, as we're going to see, the parsha of chatzer is derived from shliach. So that's according to Reb Chaim. What that means, that the parasha of chatz is derived from shliach, is that it's limited and bound by the regulations that restrict shliach. And the nafkamina is going to be a ketana, that a ketana doesn't have a shliach, and therefore she can't have a chatz. But everybody agrees that chatz is mishum yad. So if you're interested, we can go through the Reb Chaim if you like. It depends on how fast we want to go through this sugya. This is a very profound sugya. I mean, the whole sugya of Ein Shliach L'Varver is here. The whole sugya of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol is here. Everything is here in this next piece of Gemara. It's probably the most famous Gemara in the first parak of Bav Metzi, even though we think Shnaivoks of Italis is very famous. But this one is... So the Gemara asks the Kashan Reish Lakish. Mika Mandi Omar chatzim mishum shlichus is rabbi, can you really limit chatzer to shlichus, meaning the same way that shlichus is limited, so too chatzer is limited, and that's why you exclude a ketana from chatzer, because she's excluded from shlichus. What about the case of a ganav? So we're going to stop here, but I'll just quickly read through the braisa. The braisa says on the pasuk, again the braisa doesn't quote the pasuk. Pasuk says he motze biyado, which means that he stole it with his yad. And the Gemara wants to know, the braisa wants to know, ainli el yado. What happens if he stole something by bringing it into his gag chatzero v'karfifo? And we derive that from the pasuk himotze timotze. Despite the fact that the next word in the pasuk is biyado, nevertheless himotze timotze tells me that even if he puts it into his chatzer, he's kone as a ganov and he's chayev, and that's called mikol makom. Now wait a second. If you're going to tell me that chatz is mishum shlichus, then one of the limitations of shlichus is ein shlichus dvar avera, is how could we have a possibility of the ganav for accomplishing his goal of gneva through a chatzer? If chatz is mishum shlichus, well, ein shlichus dvar avera. And I use this to demonstrate to you to what extent the Gemara is very serious here. But again, we'll have to see it within Reb Chaim's frame of reference, that these are only restrictive rules based on the fact that chatz is derived from shlichus, and that's called isra boy. Okay, then, Rabbosai? So we'll stop here.